The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Arranquillo, hey, give me more, give me more, give me more. Hey, give me more, give me more, give me more. Make me lick me back on the old banjo. Arranquillo, hey, give me more, give me more, give me more. Hey, give me more, give me more, give me more. Make me lick me back on the old banjo. Sugar, honey and spice, come make me treat you nice. Sugar honey is me name, just because me sweet like a sugar cane.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is the end of a long holiday weekend. I almost didn't know what day it was. It is Tuesday, the 12th of July, 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green on this World News Tuesday with Mark Palmer. But it's the first day back from the holiday, so we have to switch it up today. Now, of course, there's tons of things in the news, and it's not like when I was prepping my camping trip, I went deep in the bush. I went deep in the bush this holiday. It's not like I didn't know that when I came back out of the bush, there was gonna be tons of news. I knew, even though I booked guests for today, I knew there's gonna be tons of news. But we're gonna get through all of it because it's Independence Month. And for the month of July, I'm trying to include as many voices as possible in the discussion at this time. Yes, I know God spare life and, God spare this job. We may have lots of time to have these conversations, but it's important to have them at this time. It's important for as many local voices, sectors of society to chime in at the same time as possible so that we can hear each other. We could hear our needs. We could hear our desires. We could hear our expectations, our limitations, and our potential and our capacity, right? We need to do that. And we, the people, need to create structures to do that outside of governance, right? We need to create structures to do that outside of the politics, the political class, and the political culture. We need a new dispensation. We need a new way of doing things. And somebody can say, oh, it's a new day. I can tell you it's always a new day. From my limited research, there's always a new day. It may not be a new day for me. It may be the last day for me, but it will be a new day for someone else. So I'm going to need you to sell me something slightly different. So we got jammed up, and I want to say this to my audience members. I will always give Mr. Rock Morris and anyone he brings with him extra time. This guy has been in the trenches in unionism for decades and decades, but not just that, he's a community man, right? And I know that because he's in my community. And so we lost a little time, but I'm glad that we were sharing it with the unionists and the labor movement and Mr. Rock Morris. He's talking about some important things that we're going to get back to later in the show. But to start the show today, let me start off. The song we played this morning is from the Goombe era, which I still think that's my favorite era because y'all young people don't like to put bass in your music. You don't like to put no drum and no bass in your music. And it's okay. I got to let you all fly and spread however you want, right? But you need some drum and bass in your music. Now, that song we played is called Uncle Joe by Vincent Martin. And I found a number of tracks by Vincent Martin and his Bahamians, or the Bahamians, right? Some wonderful music from the Goombe era. And that song is called Uncle Joe by Vincent Martin. I played it this morning because we are talking gender-based violence with Organization for Responsible Government, and their gender-based violence cohort led by Ms. Delsinia Thompson. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having us today. I'm also joined by Winisha Sanders, who is one of the participants in our cohort.
Awesome. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to need you each to grab a mic. and you're gonna have to pull the mic straight to your face. You have to talk straight into the mic. Right? This mic, this is an anti-gossip mic. It don't pick up nothing off the side. Nothing you talking off, right? You're talking out the side of your mouth. Straight on talk. So good morning, ladies. And introduce yourself again, please.
Good morning. My name is Wainisha Saunders, and I was a part of the cohort with for gender-based violence under ORG.
Awesome, awesome. And today we're here to talk about a new video series that you are producing called Listen Up. So let's start off. Tell us briefly about the GBV cohort.
Okay, yes. The gender-based cohort was a youth initiative. Mm-hmm. So we recruited participants between the ages of 16 to 24. Usually when you hear gender-based violence, most persons automatically think of domestic violence. And while that is a part of it, there are so many other forms of gender-based violence. And it also affects youths, not just adults. So this initiative was a chance for them to be proactive in creating a project that would not only speak to the violence that we experience in our communities and nationally, but also how to reach their participants, their counterparts, their peers, persons their age, who will relate to the messages and the topics explored and get involved.
Right. And as you say that, I wonder if adults will acknowledge gender-based violence in their relationships, if their children who are the first responders, right, talk about it and point it out to them.
Right, there's usually a lot of fallout when it comes to gender-based violence. If you're in a home where violence is occurring, it's not just the victim who's physically experiencing the abuse, but also if there's kids in the home, they're also affected and impacted. And
right.
They take that not only out of their home, they take that to school, but their social groups, their friends. It's definitely a domino effect.
I mean, and it's exponential, right? There is the physical and psychological violence that the child experiences witnessing someone being abused or, you know, experiencing violence. It's the lack of a safe space within the home to talk about it, right? So you know it's bad. You may not even be able to articulate it, but you know it's bad. And then there's nowhere to talk about it. And then you don't want to expose your family secrets because you may feel lesser than. Mm. So then there's nowhere outside of the space to talk about it. And then you may be experiencing the violence yourself, right? And then watching your siblings. Like, for example, the number of young women and boys, young girls and boys, who will stand in the gap. So they may have been abused, and as their sibling becomes older, they refuse to allow the sibling to be abused. So they take on the abuse, and they continue to take on the abuse in an attempt to save the child. So it's the trauma itself, the psychological aspect of that trauma and nowhere to go. And then the trauma of understanding that you're trying to be the savior for others, right? And then you still have to hold all of that.
Right, and while you're suffering.
Right, and I wonder if people understand that the children are going through all of that, then they have to go into the school space.
Right. And that's definitely going to affect their work, their grades, how they interact with their friends. That's one of the themes that we explored, how it affects your behavior and noticing changes in behavioral patterns, and that being a sign that someone may be in trouble and how to intervene in those cases.
Right. I'm so glad we're having this discussion as a part of the Independence Month. Like I said, we got plenty of news we're going to get to, but who represents the young people? Who represents the students? We've got unions for professions. We've got chairmen to defend politicians. But who stands in the gap for young people, just generally, and then on issues as sensitive as this? So is the video series a compilation of the results from your project, or is the video series a project or an initiative, like a sustainable initiative coming out of the cohort?
I mean, it's a sustainable initiative coming out of the cohort. How the cohort was designed, there was actually two cohorts. Ms. Sanders would have been a part of the second and last cohort.
Okay.
But there was a six-week training process where we go over the different teams defining gender-based violence, what it is, different types and different forms, how you can alleviate or impact those that may be affected going through persons who may have experienced it. So leading up to actually devising the project, which is the video series, we had a 6-week course where we went through all of those themes, and the youths that participated in it were allowed to speak freely and speak openly without judgment, a safe space that they can all collaborate together and share their experiences.
Oh, this is awesome.
Yes.
This is awesome. Okay. The show itself, right? How do we connect to the show? When are you launching it, and how do we connect to it?
Well, it has already been officially launched. So if you go to ORG Bahamas Facebook page, you will find video one. On video one, we had our special guest, Ms. Nia Bethel Sayers, who spoke with one of our participants, Mr. Ruben Noel, which is very a pleasant surprise when we started this initiative, that we got a lot of male voices and male youths that were willing to participate as well. So that would be the first video that's up and ready, and you can all view it. And coming this Friday, we will premiere video two, which will be a roundtable discussion with a volunteer from the Crisis Center. Mm-hmm. And that will go into more of intimate partner violence, which is also known as domestic violence.
Right. Oh, and also known as, but can exist outside of that domestic space, right? Because
yes,
we see a number of young people because UB did a study a couple of years ago, but they looked, I think, grade 10 and grade 12 students and asked them questions about intimate partner relations, domestic violence. And so we see that these very young people are having very adult relationships.
Right.
Relationships that you expect to take place within a home or a domicile, right? Like the way that they think about each other is the way that husbands and wives think about each other, and the way that people who have committed to each other in a way like, we're going to share this rent and we're going to share these bills and take care of these children. But they only in grade 10.
Right. And that goes back to the point of children that may be in a home where violence is occurring, or maybe even verbal and mental abuse. You can take those ideas and normalize them and take them into relationships. So it really doesn't matter the age. If you have already experienced negative behavioral patterns, they stick with you. Uh-huh. So if you find yourself in a relationship where someone is yelling at you, cursing at you, calling you out of your name, or being overbearing or controlling, you may normalize that because that's what's already in your home. So identifying those patterns and breaking them is part of what this video too that's preparing on Friday will speak to.
Awesome.
How do you identify those patterns? Because you're saying it's normal, right? I mean, for that child, it's just every day. How would they know that that is not normal?
Right, and that's why we wanted to include experts in the field. The volunteer that we spoke with in video two is Ms. Shantez Wilson. She works with the Crisis Center.
And let me just say, Nia Bethel Sayers works with Equality Bahamas.
Yes, and she would have been in video one, which is available now. So go to our Facebook page because you can watch that now. But sometimes you don't notice it, and that is the biggest
problem. Speak right into the mic for me.
You don't notice it, and that is the biggest problem. So having someone who is outside of it that can speak with you, you can go through these different things and realize that, hey, this isn't normal. This doesn't make me feel well, and I don't deserve this. A lot of times when people are abused, whether it's psychological or physical, they internalize it and blame themselves. So if that's all you know, you're going to say, well, this is what's supposed to happen. This is what I deserve. Mm-hmm. But having someone to pour into you and speak to you and make you realize that, hey, this isn't normal and I deserve better.
What about schools? I mean, what about schools? Because they're often the first point of contact when a child will come in and you will see these kind of behavioral issues. What sort of role, I know schools are there to educate you, right? And they have guidance counselors, et cetera, and it's putting a lot of burden on them. But what kind of role can the schools play in identifying at-risk children?
Right. Like you said, we do have our guidance counselors, which
into the mic for me.
We do have guidance counselors, which are usually a first point of contact. But I think that's why this initiative was inspired, because we wanted to reach the actual kids. Mm-hmm. So whether you're being affected or you can identify if your friend is in trouble, having someone that's your age group, your peer, your equal that can speak to you and you feel comfortable and safe opening up is the primary reason for this initiative. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Vanisha want to add anything.
Come right in.
Yes, so for one, I'd like to start off and say I believe that what ARG actually initiated was something that we should have been doing as a country. What I've also noticed is that as times have evolved, as we talk about, you know, kids, young adults, millennials and Gen Zs, I don't think the older generations have realized now that we're not really children anymore. We're now young adults. We're in our 20s, early 30s. And for true, like, we're stepping into these different types of relationships and a lot of young people stemming from homes where they didn't really have that love or that affection or that attention. And that's why I believe Gen Zs and millennials, like, we've come more to terms where we believe in therapy. You know, even people that I know personally who are older than me, they don't believe in therapy. They believe that you should just go to church. They believe that, you know, you need to pray about it. When people are literally, like, the trauma doesn't even have to be abuse. Mm-hmm. It could have been mental abuse. It could have been something that they saw or witnessed, you know. Yeah. And that follows them for the rest of their lives, and they don't get the help that they need.
Let me just say this. There are so many men in particular, but women as well. Mm-hmm. There's so many men who are dealing with unprocessed trauma, with relationships, dysfunctional or problematic relationships with their mothers or the primary female caregiver in their family. And there's so many women that also have unprocessed trauma with their relationships with their mothers or in a similar way, the absence of a father, right, in that space. And because they've been taught that you only go to God to talk about it.
Right.
When just a little talking, just a little talking could begin to unravel everything that's bound up so tight. That's such an important point you made, my friend. Go on.
So, like, the question that you asked, like, who really speaks up for us? Honestly, I don't even want ARG to stop doing what they're doing because there isn't a lot of outlets in this country where there are so many educated young Bahamians. They care about activism. They care about solving issues for gender-based violence. And I look around the world and I see different countries, even Caribbean countries, they have youth forums. They have youth leaders where they literally sit, you know, with government and they try to help make decisions because we are the future decision makers. We are the people that you'll be passing the baton on. Mm-hmm. Ms. Green, you'll be passing the baton one day to another.
I done pass it, I trip and it gone.
So the truth is that we need adults and we need the older generation helping us to grow, you know, and actually trying to see from our point of view. One of the biggest things that I think would really wanted me to be a part of what ARG initiated was the death of Heavenly Turbius. You know, she was in set with me. We were both 21 years old, and that murder-suicide shocked the country when people actually realized that there were young adults in these type of relationships. And, of course, I also felt some type of remorse for the young man as well because to just do an act like that, we know that everything wasn't okay even with him. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a story as well, and not picking sides, but the truth was that both of them were going through something internally that wasn't processed, and they both needed help healing from that trauma. So when we noticed that people at 21, 20, 22, 23, willing to kill each other in a relationship, we're seeing videos go viral on social media, women being beaten and attacked, and then we see 2 weeks later or a month later when it gets to the court, these criminals are walking free. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's a cycle, and it makes us feel, and not just women, men, children, are we really safe? Is the judicial system really defending us? And then who is going to be the mouthpiece for my generation and generations to come?
Mm-hmm. So like, not only are we not defending young people, but we refuse to acknowledge what the obligation is. Like you said, the youth cohort from 16 to 24, because globally, the world recognizes that your brain doesn't stop developing until 25, right? That in at least in some aspect of your life that you require a protection, a facilitation that you can't give yourself, right? And youth programs extend to 30. While, I use this word plenty, in this plantation model, we ready to kill you at 5. We will tell you, I brought you into this world and I will take you out, as if you have, right, and what a dichotomy, as if you are old enough to understand yourself and your actions when you make these decisions, right? But at the same time, know that you are nothing because I'll take you out. And at 5, at 7, right, and we give politicians and professionals protections that we refuse to give to young people. We, you know, and so you... You're absolutely right. And so we've sort of gone off of, we've gone to the space of young people and protections generally, but this space with gender-based violence is a space where there are no protections. There are because it's inappropriate and ineffective to say to a young person, well, if you wasn't in a relationship, then you wouldn't get yourself in this mess. Understanding, if you understand the way that human nature works, people need relationships.
Right.
And gender-based violence is not a problem that a young person can solve by themselves. Right? It's not fair to say to a young person, stay home if you can't find any friend, and stay home if you can't find any safe spaces. Stay home where? In a house with 13 people where I am already being subject to abuse? Exactly. On multiple forms of abuse? Multiple people in the household.
Even neglect is abuse as well.
Right.
So if you're not seen, you're not heard, and you find someone who love bombs you, that's one of the things we explored as well.
Mm-hmm.
They may be your prince charming or your princess in the beginning, and then once you're heavily reliant or dependent on that person, that switches, but you're already in it. So you're ignoring all the signs, all the bad behavior, because you're chasing after what was there in the beginning, not knowing that that was a false or a mask.
Absolutely. I think I hear my music. Do you guys hear music in your
head? I can hear a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. We got to go to a break. Thank you, producer. I almost missed it. I got to change my headphones. I'm enjoying this conversation. I know you got to go, but when we get back from the break, we're going to close up this conversation. Maybe I could beg you all to stay a little bit longer so we could get to the intersection of things. But this in and of itself is fabulous. Miss
Dulcinea Thompson.
And Wainesha Saunders.
Mark Palmer.
And Erin Green are on the clock. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
To think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem. Just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
We're not always able to see the storms in life approaching, but we can take the necessary steps to be prepared to ensure the safety of ourselves, our loved ones, and our property. This hurricane season, trust J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers. We'll be here to help you get back on track in your time of need. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
A case with a young man. Well, a charming young woman. She had a case with a young man. She said the man kick she up and take she money. So she got a warrant from the JP. Next day the case, well, you ought to know. She had the whole courthouse in a uproar. She said, my honor, he kicked me up. They hold him, he wouldn't stop. Murder, I start to bawl, but the man wouldn't stop kicking me at all.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and I've guests from ORG, their gender-based violence cohort, and Mr. Mark Palmer joining me. And we are talking about young people, gender-based violence, and ORG's new project, Listen Up, a video series on gender-based violence. I want to get into some politics. I don't want to drag these young people into this politics, though. Anyway, I can drag y'all. If y'all stay, you can get dragged in. But let's get back to Listen Up, right? Where is Facebook the only place we can find the videos right now?
Right now, yes. Okay. We will compile all of the releases at the end. So Listen Up is a three-part series. Like I said, part two will be airing this Friday. So please like our page so you'll be notified when it's released. And then we have part three after that. We will make a compilation from cohort one and cohort two. Cohort one did a podcast.
Okay.
Yes.
And so, this is the video, and it's cohort two to the video series.
Right, yes. Okay. So we will do a compilation where we intend to archive all of the releases so they can be readily available and able persons will be able to share them.
Well, listen, I'm of the remix era, right? So here's what we need to do. A little bit of old people's stuff and a little bit of young people's stuff. You're going to need to do reaction videos to the videos. Like, you're going to find some young people on the street, and you're going to find some maybe media personality like me, or maybe a couple of...
You know,
even like a boy like Solo Made, right? You're going to find some celebrity and some activists and do a reaction video to that video, right? And a sort of a compilation to draw people into it, because people may watch the reaction video and say, you know what, let me go find that one. I want to delve into... that one. I think that would be fun as well. So tell us, who made this possible? Who are the sponsors? I mean, really, so I could go beg them for some money, but who is making this possible?
Yes, the initiative was funded by the U.S. State Department and COIN, which is a women's initiative group out of Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. So it came to ORG as an opportunity for youth activism and social and emotional learning. So that's, ORG education is a part of our arm. So that's one of our initiatives that we champion. So that's how it came to us. We were a part of round one, mm-hmm. which means we were a part of one of the first groups that got involved with this. I recently made a trip to Santo Domingo. It was a region-wide initiative, so several other countries like Jamaica, Trinidad and mm-hmm. Tobago, St. Lucia, St. Nevis, all of those places, we all came together. And you'll be surprised of how many of the shared issues relating to gender-based violence that's across the region.
Oh, yeah, and young people in particular.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Okay, now... I want to be a part of this video series as an advocate, but somebody out there may want to be a part of it as a young, aspiring advocate. Can I participate, and how do I connect with you to have this conversation?
Definitely. Like I said, you will go to our Facebook page, ORG Bahamas. There you can review, you can watch the videos, but also contained in the videos at the end of each videos, there will be calls to action. So there will be personal challenges for yourself to rechange and reshape the way you think, the way you see things. Sometimes we may play off jokes as it's just a joke, but it can be insensitive and it can lead to rape culture. Mm-hmm. So even if you stop yourself from saying, hey, maybe I shouldn't play around with something like this, or if you call out a friend who may make insensitive jokes, it also sparks a conversation. Mm-hmm. And from you, you can impact someone else and it can pay itself forward.
And sometimes young people, they're going to hear, when you say to them, oh, you know, that's a off color, that's an insensitive mm-hmm. joke, all they're going to hear is Erin Green's voice, right? They ain't going to hear nothing else. And they're saying, but if you say, like, look here, I know what you, I mean, I know, but your boy, his mommy or, you know, his cousin got raped and he dealing with that. That young person is more likely because it's real.
Right.
And then they say, and reexamine their behavior and pull back and engage differently, you know? And so sometimes we need to make it less political. Right. Like I tell people all the time, the average queer person is not around here about, I'm a lesbian and I'm a gay man. They're like, look, I don't know. I'm going to see Johnny after the bar. That's it. You know, that's how they think about it. And in the same way, young people as well, they may engage more easily, or it may be more accessible at the personal, familial, right? Like, yeah. This situation is familiar to me than the advocacy policy speak.
I mean, I'm worried about the culture aspect of it. You kind of referred to it earlier. Do you remember that? I think it was like two administrations ago, a certain minister came up and made a joke about beating women. Do you remember that? And the shocking thing was were two women MPs who were laughing at it. And so it appears it's almost like a culture. It's like, you know, give a woman a good beating and you straighten her out. And that came right from the top.
Now, mind you, in that instance, right, the point that was being made, right, by former MP Miller was, like he was saying, when I was younger, I used to be this type of boy, and I had a girlfriend who was this type of woman. Mm. And when I realized that the type of boy I was wrong, and I stopped beating her, she looked at me and asked me why I stopped beating her. Do you not love me anymore? So I think it was an inappropriate way to make an attempt to make an important point.
But it was still treated as a joke, right?
Ah, right. And then the point that you're making is that people laugh. Now, sometimes people laugh because they are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But when you're in the halls of parliament, when you're in the halls of parliament now, there is no discomfort for you. You get to be prepared to know what you ought to do when you ought to do it. And like you're saying, Mark, to laugh at it is not the right response. And that you laughed, whether it is because you believe that's a good joke or because you were so uncomfortable that you didn't know what else to do, it is a great indicator of where we are collectively. Yeah. You know?
And I feel too, like, that's like the little things where you see gender bias or you see the programming of what's been happening for years or for decades. Like when in the recent political season, when we had 7 women that were elected to parliament and everybody was really celebrating, like I was happy to see it, but I was still super discouraged because as someone who one day wants to go into politics and wants to be in government, I feel like by now in 2022, where there's so many countries right now that have female prime ministers. Like, why are we celebrating this? Where some countries it's mandatory to have at least 50% of women running in politics. So literally in every space, who's speaking up for these minority groups?
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like it's just stuff like little things like that where we could fix and solve issues, but there's bias.
Yeah. Now, Ms. Thompson, my texters are telling me you need to talk into the mic, right into the mic. They want to hear. They're impressed with what you're saying. They want to hear it. I need you to be a little louder. You know, and that's a very interesting point you make. I wonder, like Mark, I wonder, are these politicians also in this place that we've identified that young people are in, where they are unable to talk about their trauma, and they're unable to talk about these things? And so they are literally, whether they can articulate it or not, the subconsciously, there's no way that they can appoint a woman to that position of power because they still feel disempowered when they're in this dynamic with their mother or their primary female caregivers, right? And because they haven't processed it. Okay, I got a text here and then I got 2 calls. Callers, I see you. The phone was turned. There's plenty of people in here. The text says, since we're talking about gender-based violence, did they survey men to find out if men are being emotionally or verbally abused? First of all, texter, we know that men are being emotionally and verbally abused. That has never been in question. What we're saying is that the abuse that men face at the hands of women is disproportionate to the abuse that women face at the hands of men and other women, right? That's what we are saying. Not that it doesn't happen at all to men, but it happens so much more to women. And historically, it's happened so much more to women. And even though there may be an increase in this behavior towards men now, it still doesn't balance. It don't come close to balancing, right, that which women have experienced.
I would also like to add to that and say that, to my point earlier, mm-hmm. there were males that were involved in this initiative and creating these projects and these videos.
Yeah.
So their voices are important and they do matter, as well as we do have our gender perceptions and knowledge survey. So that will be in the caption of each of our video. So
gender perceptions and
attitudes. Survey.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So anyone that views the videos, you'll be able to click that link and take that survey so we can get a baseline of what's going on in the country.
So, dear texter, gather your man friends them.
Yes.
Go to org's Facebook page.
Yes.
Go to org online and look for the links So you could do the gender perceptions and attitudes survey so you could ensure that men's voices and experiences are being included. Because if I do it, it could be a fraud. Then you would say, man, Aaron, you ain't no man. I said, I'm just trying to fill it in for the beta. All right. Let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
How you doing?
I am good, thank you.
That's good. I'm a sort of, I hear you tried to dress up something a while ago with something what happened in the House of Assembly. You tried to dress it up a little bit. You can't dress up something that someone says in the parliament.
And, well, I got
woman,
you.
And woman was knocking on the desk.
They were? But
what
I'm not I'm not dressing it up. I'm telling you what the man said.
Don't say my boy say when he was young. He never said nothing, but when he was young, he said he used to beat the woman. And he one time he come home, and the woman said to him, you're not going to beat me this evening? Right?
Yeah.
I no longer this weekend, I saw a video with a young child getting beaten. And he was even kicked. And I'm trying to figure out, where's all this violence coming from?
I
and
got you.
Especially on young people.
Listen,
you know?
Let me tell you where the violence is coming from. Young people are being dumped on. They are being abused. They have been abandoned. They may be getting D's in school, but they're not stupid. They may not be able to articulate what's happening to them, but they are aware that something is wrong. They have to deal with sexual violence. We got a whole group of young people out here that have to deal with the idea that they may be a part of a culture or cultures where the male, dominant male in the family is the first person to take your virginity. Some of these young people are living in cultures, plural, not just one, cultures, plural, where the girl child is expected to use her body to generate income for the family. This is an expectation. There are some cultures here where girls know that they are going to be prostituted for the rest of their lives. Some girls are leaving home because they would rather be in control of their own bodies and decide who they're going to sleep with or to have a bit more agency in the decision than being in a home where the mother and the father decide who they sleep with, when they sleep with them, and how much is charged, where they use sex as punishment, right? Some of these young boys have grown up watching their mothers be raped or coerced into sex to supply the basic needs to their children. These young people are traumatized. Go on, my friend.
And I feel like I'm a part of a culture, and me and a few of my friends were talking about it the other day, where like we're not allowed to tell men no. Like, we'd have to say, well, oh, like, I'm in a relationship, or I have a boyfriend, or, like, I'm engaged, and it's far from the truth, you know. We're, like, college students, but men want to attack you. They want to hurt you. They want to rape you because you can't say no, that right. You're not interested.
And,
yeah. Sexual harassment, catcalling, those are some of the themes that we explored as well. How do you turn someone down without it escalating or becoming violent? Because we found, like Venetia just mentioned, if you're walking down the street and someone catcalls you, if you ignore them, it can escalate. If you deny them, it can escalate. So you as a woman, what are your options to get out of a situation unharmed?
Now, caller, I didn't mean to just sort of abandon you. I didn't mean to sort of abandon you. I see you gone. The situation with Mr. Miller, right? I'm just going to presume that that's not his wife he was talking about. Right? And he got big grown children. So when I reference him as being a young man, I imagine that this story took place about 10 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And that what he was talking about took place about 20 years before that. He was a young man. To say exactly what happened is not to excuse his behavior, nor is it to sort of justify his or ignore the inappropriateness of telling of trying to convey that sentiment in that way. But I also think it's important to note what it is he thought he was attempting to do. right? Like he was attempting to teach us something, but he did it in the most inappropriate way. And so I'm not discounting anything that you're saying, caller, and I hope you understand that the commentary after is in support of the position that you were laying down, an important position, and it is overwhelming to hear an older Bahamian. Like when you ask why is there so much violence in these young people, at least you show concern. And I know that you know that they didn't put it in themselves. They didn't go to the store and spend their money on that. They buying half bags. They are not buying this type of violence. Okay, guys, I got another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You on the clock.
Pleasant. Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Oh, sorry. Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And to your panel, pleasant good morning. I would have heard one of your panelists speak to countries where the percentage or the demographic of candidates, what it looks like and how some of it is mandated.
Uh-huh.
Aaron, if you check the stats at the Department of Statistics, right here in our country, women make up largest voting bloc, period.
Mm-hmm.
More women own homes than men in this town.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's an expectation, I think females here, and I think a fairly recent referendum would have been evidence of how much our female demographic vote against themselves when it comes to eradicating some of the policies and things that are in place that perpetrate gender bias toward them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, for all intents and purposes, in terms of contributing to the political process and to and economically, single-parent homes, the mom usually is the one that's present, your base and your power is really significant. So, I mean, a lot of these things with conversation, there's really no need to have any conversation. Demand what it is you need and expect from the administration. You have the numbers
right
to do it.
Right.
That's just my, thanks for allowing me to contribute.
No, man, absolutely. And I think what it is, it's important for women to be able to see themselves in that, right? Like spatial awareness is also about you being able to see yourself in the space. Women have broken themselves up into many, many constituents, right? Like plantation politics is fascinating, and this is what it aims to do. Man, to call it as a great call, but I got two more calls on the line. I got to get to them. Producer, let's try to get to these other callers. And then I got a text here that says, why wouldn't you talk about Loretta slapping Rollins, Andre Rollins? You all remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? When?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did talk about it, actually. I want you to know, caller, I did talk about it. I bias on this one, not because I think that women should be slapping men. I just think that I don't want to talk about it right now. But I will let you know up front, I have my own biases that I have to work on. But it have nothing to do with the idea that women should be able to slap man. Because Loretta is older than him. And she's a senior politician to him. And whatever he said, if it was that egregious, we should have used it as a teaching moment. And not just for sort of personal, within the comic books, when you succeed, you defeat the villain, but for collective resolution and solution. Okay, that text is very, very concerned that we are ignoring men in this violence talk. And I think that quite rightly I encapsulated it. We're not ignoring men. Another text, Aaron, you can't mandate the 50% of women should be voted into politics. You'll be defeating the purpose of freedom of choice. You want the best when you vote. Okay, so that text is referencing the quota system, which was implemented, I think, initially in Rwanda, in Commonwealth jurisdiction, in an attempt to bring balance gender balance to the political space, mm-hmm. political forum. And it was after many, many decades of strategizing how we're going to do it, and they created a quota, not at the voting stage, you know, at the candidate stage. So it's not that you mandate that, you know, you have to vote. It's the parties put up the candidates. And this
what
is
what I meant.
Right. And this is what's here and available to vote for. But I just want you all men to know that there are those of us out here that understand that you are not comfortable, you're not safe. But that's why it's important to look at the intersection of things. Because if you just sit with one eye open looking to the mango tree, then you would think that every Bahamian woman is a part of a conspiracy to destroy Bahamian men. But if you open up your other eye and then you use the eyes in the back of your head and then your third eye and you gather a number of perspectives, then you'll realize that this is far more complicated than you think it is, and that what's happening to you today is impacted or informed by things that may have happened hundreds of years ago, not just a decade ago. Let's get to the callers, if you don't mind. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Listen, in this gender-based violence thing that you're talking about, and you were talking about this happening to young people, where the lady was saying where she feels like you in a position where you can't say no to these men. I've decided that in myself, how I would deal with the situation. And I'm not young. I'm in my 50s. And
younger,
I've been in
young.
A situation a few times where I've been approached by men, and the type of no that I said to them, they got the message, and they realized if they try anything, I will get violent.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So when you stand for something, you won't fall for anything. So I don't think you should be made to feel like you can't say no. I think you need to find your own, once you get a certain age, you need to find your own personal way of which you're going to say no and how you're going to say it.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of people who just like foolishness and they like confrontation. They like, I guess, pity parties and all these other stuff. So you have to take it upon yourself. Once you get a certain age, I feel like it's within yourself to build yourself and stop leaning towards what has happened to you in the past. That don't have to be your future. Your beginning never have to be your end.
Especially if you buy some pepper spray. Don't have to be your future. Anyway, we can't talk about that because apparently pepper spray could or could not be illegal. I mean, ignoring significant violence against women and young girls and the vulnerable.
Yeah, so you have to teach yourself how you're going to deal with it. I've been approached by people where I tell them.
I'm so sorry. I got to go. I got another caller on the line and I got to let ladies end the show. And I even row no politicians for the long Independence holiday weekend, ma'am. I'm so sorry. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds.
Who's Stark and Weiss along with you on your panel here in Brain Pretty?
Listen, first of all, Brayman, I thought it was just the eyes. Second of all, this is why the old bear hit me in my camping trip this weekend. You guys stop calling me Pretty Eyes. How you doing?
Oh, holy, thank God. But you know, I listen to this conversation, right?
Yeah.
By the way, Friday I had called, right? But I dropped sleep with the phone next to my ass listening to you.
I am so sorry.
No problem.
The Uber is waking up.
Listen to this conversation.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I try to figure out why there are so much violence in this country and, of course, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing came to my mind. The ladies need to be taught. Yesterday, right?
Brayman, look here. Do me a favor. You call me back tomorrow. I got to go.
Okay.
You call me back with that same comment tomorrow, please.
Okay.
I beg you. Okay. Listen. What? And here I am with my 10,000 C-grade plan. And now I got to be poor? Brayman, that don't make no sense. Anyway, ladies, we got to end the show. Remind us how we can find the Listen Up video and how we can connect with ORG and the gender-based violence cohort if we want to be a part of cohort number 3.
Yes. All videos will be available on ORG Bahamas, our Facebook page. Video 2 is premiering this Friday by 12 noon. So please like so you can be notified when that premieres. Like I said, each video will have calls to action that you can personally challenge yourself. You can also take our gender attitudes and perceptions survey as well. And we will give you more information on how you can become involved, continue the conversation, and get active.
Listen, absolutely. The only thing I'm going to ask you to do, miss, you got to speak up.
Okay.
You have so many powerful things to say, and you too. Oh, okay. You get used that mic. That's what happened.
Oh, this isn't working.
It finished. Now you, ma'am, you say good day.
Good day. Well, for me, so much things was unpacked, and I'm so angry that I can't respond to half of these phone calls. But nonetheless, you know, my message is to any young person or anyone out there in general, if you're going through gender-based violence or facing any type of violence, male, female, child, speak out, get the help that you need. There are people out here fighting for you, people like Ms. Thompson, the ORG organization, Ms. Green, and myself. So let's make this thing a Bahamas issue, and let's try to solve it.
Absolutely. Mr. Palmer, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
To the politicians that I did not get a chance to talk to, we're going to talk because I just need to know, How are you going to use my money to pay for your mistakes and then turn around and tell me you can't tell me how much of my money you spent or what the exact mistake that was made was? No, we're going to need a new financial secretary. Not to say that Mr. Wilson is involved in this in any way, but your accounting is off. We're going to talk about that later. I'm so glad that you ladies came in here and distracted me this morning from the things that I wanted to talk about, like $70 an hour taxi rides. But this is the important stuff. To the audience, we're sorry about the mic issues. I'm going to have Ms. Thompson on and the gender-based violence cohort on again because there's lots of things for us to explore. To the callers, now look here, some of these calls was a little, but that's okay because I enjoy talking and we got to talk to get to the root of these things, right? Every interrogation is important. Brayman, call me back tomorrow. Mark, thank you. I wish you could come join me again tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to have Sam Duncan and we're going to talk about the environment, the flora and the fauna and the role that they play in this nation that we want to say is ours. Have a great day, Bahamas. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM is up next.